Proverbs chapter 31, verses 25 through 31. She is strong and respected by the people. She looks forward to the future with joy. She speaks wise words and teaches others to be kind. She watches over her people and never wastes her time. Her children speak well of her. Her husband also praises her, saying, "There are many fine women, but you are better than all of them." Charm can fool you and beauty can trick you, but a woman who respects the Lord should be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. She should be praised in public for what she has done.
You know, today's Mother's Day. And I just don't know of any way that we can properly honor mothers for what they do. Now, we're not just talking about people that have given birth. That's not necessarily a mother. What a mother is one that takes care of the children and honors them and helps them to grow and to mature into the best people they can be. Proverbs 31, we could take the whole time today and tonight's services and talk about the worthy woman there and what she was and who she was and what she did. And read that if you would. And encourage that. I hope you, if you can't today, if you can't be with your mother, you give her a call. You think about her. You utter a prayer to God for her, for what she's done for you. Now, mothers are not always what they need to be. They're learning. And they learn pretty fast. And they do a pretty good job. And so, that's what we want to study about a little bit today, is to look at this and study about mothers and find out a little bit more about them. Mothers, I want to use a couple examples of Bible mothers. Turn, if you would, to Exodus, the second chapter. In Exodus 2, starting with verse 1 there, we see a mother named Jochebed. And I may not be pronouncing that exactly like you pronounce it, but here is this mother of Moses. I think she serves as a good example. She lived at a time where children of Israel, where they were supposed to take the life of those babies that were boys. Girls were okay, but boys were to be killed. She knew that. She was expecting. Now, you just think about that. You just think about a mother expecting and knowing that the government that you're under is saying, you don't need to have that child if it's a boy. And we're going to kill him if he is. We're going to destroy him. And here this mother takes this child, and for 3 months she hides him out in the house there and takes care of him. Now, I don't know how you keep a baby quiet. My granddaughters can make more racket. I think they kind of get the sound barrier sometimes. Do yours? It scream and holler. But that's what babies do. That's what little kids do. How she kept that baby quiet enough for 3 months, I don't know. But she did. And then what she did, as you know the story, she took that baby and put it in a little basket that she had molded and made for it, a little ark, and put it out in the bulrushes where it couldn't get caught in the stream and go down the stream. And she put her oldest daughter out there watching the baby, taking care of it. And we know the story. The king's daughter comes by. She sees it. Sees how pretty he is. How great he is. And here she is, ready to take him in to her household. Go get a mother, one of the Jewish mothers, to come over and suckle the child, breastfeed the child, take care of the child, be a nanny for the child. And what happens? She told the wrong person. She told his older sister, and she went and got her mother. Now, I want you to see something. Here's a lady that was willing to give birth to a child at a time when it was not convenient to do that, but she was willing to do it. She was one that was not only willing just to give birth, but she was willing to protect. Probably at the testing of her own life, of maybe her losing her life, she was willing to do that. And she was willing to do whatever was necessary. So here she gave birth. She was willing to do it at a difficult time. She was one who was willing to protect and watch over that child, maybe at the loss of her own life or punishment at least. And here we have one who was willing to sustain her child. And we have one that was willing to influence her child. She was willing to help her child to know who he was and the kind of person he needs to be. Let me tell you something. There's not a one of us, I don't think, now I may not know everybody, but there's not a one of us that we are not what we are because of our mothers. Amen. Y'all just sit there. I'll do the other part too. Our mothers have been there. Mothers, when you were told you were going to have a child, what did you think? What was your prayer? Did you at that time pray, God, give me a child that is physically okay? 10 toes, 10 fingers, 1 nose, 2 eyes? Give me a child, dear God, that's not sick and not hurt. Now I understand some parents, and I don't know how God picks those parents out to deal with children that have difficulties. I know some ladies that I think they're the greatest women that ever could be because of the things that they've had to deal with in dealing with their children. But what did you pray for? This lady did not just pray that her child would have all that, but she prayed that her child would be one that would serve God and do God's will. Look at him. He's ready to do the will of God. Why? Because of the influence of Pharaoh and his household? No. Because of the influence of the society that she lived in and that he lived in? No. But because this mother taught her child. He knew that his mother loved him. He knew that his mother cared for him and she wanted to do what she could for him. So here we have mothers that need to be those that protect and guard and help to raise their children in such a way to help them to be the kind of people they need to be. But you know what? We live in a world where some people look at motherhood as a terrible thing. I could spend the rest of the time talking about abortion and how bad that is. Because it's not in the forefront right now, we don't talk about it that much, but we need to talk about it. We need to talk about it. We need to help young people to understand that. How that this is something that should not be. That this life that is found within a person is precious. It is wonderful and it's great. And we need to honor that. We need to honor that in a great way. We need to honor that with everything we have. But not only Jochebed, what about Hannah? Now most of these women here know about these ladies because they've heard about them. They've read about them. We men need to read about them. Let me tell you something. The Bible would be a book that would neglect a great deal if it didn't talk about the mothers and what they have done and how that they have helped religion really to be what it is and helped people to be Christians. In the book of 1 Samuel 1, verses 9 through 11, here Samuel talks about this, and he talks about this woman who they just got through with a party, and you know, everything is going good, everything is great, and people have eaten, and they've drunk, and everything is okay. What's she doing? She goes down to the temple. What's her prayer? That we might continue having a good time like this? She said, God, I want a child. I want you to give me a child. I want you to give me a man child. And I'll tell you what I'll do, God. I will dedicate him to you. I'll dedicate him to you. I'll give him to you. I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. What do you want for your children? You want them to have a good job? Maybe so they can support you when you get old. You want them to have a good job? So maybe they won't move back home. Okay? You want them to have a good job. You want them to have health, but do you want them to be devoted to God? Let me tell you something. I don't care what a child does. If they're devoted to God, that's it. That's all. Nothing else. If they're devoted to God, whatever they do, if it's just a menial job, that's okay. If they just barely get by, that's all right. If they don't have a lot in this world, that's okay. Some people want their sons and daughters to be doctors and nurses and all this stuff, and they're proud of them. We talk about them. Let me tell you something. Why don't we talk about our children and their service to God? That's what we need to do. And let them know that this is the thing that's going to make us the proudest parents that could ever be. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much wealth that they have. If they're not faithful to God, if they're not devoted to God, then we haven't done our job, mothers. And don't worry, we're going to get to fathers in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk to them. I'm going to tell you something. Mothers today are the backbone of religion. Okay, y'all better let that go. I'm telling you, you better say something about that. Now, understand, I think it is the father's responsibility to be the spiritual leader in a family. But, let's look at reality. We're not. And we need to be. We need to be the father there, but also the mothers are the one that are doing that's doing this, and they're helping their children to understand what it is to be a spiritual person. I guarantee you, I can tell a mama by her children. I can see mamas that are dedicated to God and their children are dedicated to God. But you take a home where a mother's not dedicated to God, the likelihood of that child being dedicated to God is very slim. Nobody's going to hit that but me and Henry on amen. That's all right. We'll handle it. We big boys. But that's true. Now, it should be that we men are the spiritual leaders. But women, you seem to be the spiritual leader. Why? Because we men have neglected our job. But you need to be the spiritual leader. You need to help your children be devoted. And here's a mother that says, God, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him to you maybe 4 or 5 years. I'll make sure he goes to church. No, I'll dedicate him to you all of their life. You say, wait a minute. How can she do that? How can she dedicate her child that's not even born yet? She's not even expecting yet. How can she dedicate her child to God? Let me tell you something. You dedicate your child to God by being dedicated yourself. And you show them the right way to go. You live it before them. You're not just teaching them. You're showing them by the way you live your life. And you're helping them to see the right way to go and them to see how that they need to live and serve God and do His will. Here, her son was dedicated to God. He was one who was willing to serve God and to do what the will of God was. Mother, you owe your children a great deal. But God is one of the first things you owe them. And helping them to see that, helping them to understand that. You're their example of faithfulness. You're their example of worship. You're their example of a devotion, of a godliness. You're their example to do that. And I know I'm loading you down today. I hope I don't make you feel bad. I hope I help you to see that you need to dedicate your life to this. You say, wait a minute, I don't have any kids now. Oh, yes, you do. I've seen 6 foot men, big old strong men, and a little bitty woman that was bent over and couldn't even hardly walk, and they did whatever that woman told them to. And I'm thinking, where is that woman's power at? Where's her strength at? It's in being a mama. That's where it's at. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how big your son gets. I don't care how big your daughter gets. They're still your baby. And they always will be. And so we need to keep on teaching them. But not only them, we need to teach the grandchildren. We need, the great concern we need to have is, will our grandchildren be faithful to God? Will they serve God? Not just my kids. My grandkids. And what about their kids? Makes you want to live a long time so that you can be there to teach them and guide them and help them to know the way to go. That's what we've got to have. And then I don't think a sermon would be good on Mother's Day if it didn't talk about a mother and a grandmother. Anybody know who that is? Lois and Eunice, if you know anything about the Bible, you know them. Paul said, Timothy, I know you've got a great faith. I know you've got a genuine faith. How did he know that? Because of the grandmother and the mother, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. He said, I know your faith is genuine because you gained this at the feet of your mother and your grandmother. You see, even in their society, the women were the spiritually stronger people. Now men, I'm not saying women need to be elders. I thought about that, but that doesn't work according to what Scripture says. But let me tell you something. They put us men to shame being spiritual leaders. And that should cause me to want to be a better spiritual leader. Paul talked about Timothy and he talked about his faith and he told him exactly where that faith came from. It came from you as a child with your mother and your grandmother teaching you what is right and the right way to go. So that's what we've got to do. That's what you've got to do as a mother and a grandmother is teach those children and help them to understand the right way to go. Teach our children and help them to know that. Listen to Proverbs 1. Verses 8 and 9. Listen to your father's instructions and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Don't forsake the teaching of your mother. We live in a society that we have forgot. We just think that every mother is supposed to love her child. We know that that's not true. And some people use that because some mothers are not what they need to be in their dedication to their families as something to go against religion. Wait a minute. Here God's put in these mothers to be good mothers. Why aren't they good mothers? Maybe there's not a God. Let me tell you something. There's a God. And He is over that. But mothers are to be taught to be mothers. It's not just something that's in you. Does every woman have the ability to be a mother? In one sense, yes. But in another sense, no. Because it's something you got to learn. Now, Paul told the older women to teach the younger women to do what? Love your husbands. Well, that had to be a command, I'm telling you. Isn't that right, ladies? Go ahead, you can do this. It's scriptural. They won't let you say amen, but you can do this. It's true. It's true. What we've got to do is we've got to understand this thing of motherhood is a learned trait. It is something that a person has been taught. It told the older women, teach the younger women to love their husbands and to do what else? Love their children. Wait a minute. You don't have to tell a mama to love her child? Yeah. Because sometimes those little boogers are not lovable. I'm telling you. Don't you know that? 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're sitting here today. Let me tell you something. If you're sitting with your mama, lean over and say, thank you. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, she could have put you outside. And you don't know, she may have thought about it. You were just that close to being out in the weather. But she endured that because of a love that hopefully she's been taught by her mother. Now, I don't know. I've tried to figure out in 40 years who is an older woman. I don't know. Well, really, I know, but I'm afraid to say. But you need to be telling other women how to be mamas. You need to be helping them. I've seen people in the congregation say, look, that mama don't know how to raise those kids. Well, quit telling people about it and go tell that mama and help her to learn how to be a good mama. Quit being critical. Quit gossiping. Quit doing that. And go help her learn how to be a good mother. Maybe her mama didn't teach her how to be a good mother. Maybe she needs an older woman to teach her. And she may only be a year older, younger than you. That's okay. But help her to understand how to be a mother. This is a learned trait. Here Paul is saying, what you need to do as mothers is you need to learn to love your husband. Older women, teach them to do that. Younger women, you need to learn these lessons. Now there is a difference in teaching and learning. You can teach, but somebody's got to learn. Remember your English teacher? You don't learn that, you teach it. Other people learn it. We've got to learn those lessons. And we learn those lessons by what the Bible has to say. How blessed we are in having the Word of God to guide us and to teach us. How blessed we are in having that. Mothers face challenges in life. There's a challenge of time. Does any mother have time nowadays? I see mothers that are just, all you see is where they were. Pew, pew, and they're going. You have to give them a good car because they got to go places. Kids have got to go do this and go do that. And it's hard sometimes to decide what you want to do. I've seen mothers and fathers decide, I got to be honest about that. I've seen both of them decide, it's better for them to go play ball on Wednesday night than it is to come to church. It's not a good thing. Now, please understand, a friend of mine, they had a tournament that they were supposed to play, and it was on Wednesday night, and his daddy wouldn't let him go. This guy is 60 years old, and he can still tell you about it. I think there's some times when you might need to do that, but not every week. You see, we need to teach our children that worship is important, and we teach them by helping them to understand that. I've had people ask me before, my child said they don't want to go to church. What did you say? I said, I don't know. Mine have never said that. They knew they were going in the beginning. Wasn't any sense in talking about it. It saved time. They knew they were going to be there. In fact, I've been behind them when they've told people, hey, we're going to be at church on Wednesday night. We can't come to practice. Now, am I saying you're totally wrong if you let your child do that? No, that's a decision you've got to make. But it's also one you've got to live with in the future, too. Now, I've seen some children that played ball, did all that. Nothing wrong with playing ball, okay? But help them to understand their dedication to God. Help them to understand they're supposed to be children of God. We need to teach our children to worship. We need to teach them to serve God and to do the will of God. We need to help them to understand how they need to do. It's hard nowadays. Ephesians 5, verse 16, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every time you have. You go over to Deuteronomy 4, and it talks there about teaching and how that we're to teach those children. Teach them in the house, teach them in the street, teach them in the kitchen, teach them wherever you are. Let me tell you, I don't care where you are, you teach your child something about God and about living for God. Help them to understand how important that is. Help them to understand how important that is in their life. They've got to be those kind of people. But you got to have time. My time is one thing. Their time is something else. I don't know. I was talking with a fellow the other day. In fact, it was a doctor, and he was talking about quality time with his kids. I said, what is quality time? He said, it's when we can get together and we can talk and we can do this. I said, what if you got quality time but they don't have quality time? What is it then? I said, Doc, you need to have just time with your children. And your children remember things. Lynn and I are getting older, and our kids will tell us stuff that I don't even remember. I think they were gone somewhere at the time. And they tell us, you said this or you did that. I don't even remember it. You see, their memory of things and your memory of things may be totally different. So spend time with them. And I don't care what job you have, let me tell you something. If times get hard, they'll lay you off, they'll fire you, they'll get rid of you. You won't have a job, but you got a family that's going to be with you for the rest of your life. Dedicate yourself to that family. I know you've got to work. I've seen some men that they thought their job was their total responsibility to their family. It's not. And women are kind of getting that way too, where their job is the most important thing in the world. Let me get this out of the way. It's not wrong for a woman to work outside the home. Not at all. You read Proverbs 31, and I'm telling you, that woman was a businesswoman. But her family was first. That's what it's got to be. Father, your job is not just to work outside the home and bring in money, and that's all you're supposed to do. You are supposed to be a spiritual leader in that home to help that family develop like it needs to develop. You need to do that. And your number one job needs to be the family. Help children to understand that. Help them to know what that is and to know how great that is. Help them to be able to develop. Develop patience. Boy, do you need patience as a parent? Now, some of the young people are sitting here saying, you think that's rough, you're to be a child. You need patience with those parents. I mean, you think, well, you know, I could, like what is it Bill Cosby said, I brought you in, I can take you out. You know, our kids can look at us and say, yeah, and I can take you out because I'm stronger than you are. That can happen too. But what we got to do is to realize we got to develop patience. How you do that? Listen to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God. Listen, you pray for patience in your family. You pray for that, and you pray to be that person that's always there for your children. And you're going to help them, and you're going to do what you can for them, and you're going to be honest with them, and you're going to tell them the truth, and you're not going to try to lie to them or make smooth things over, but let them know the truth and help them to understand that. Help them to realize how it is. Mothers are the great multitaskers before anybody knew what that word meant. That means that they're doing four jobs at one time. And they can do it. Me, I've got a one-track mind and it's derailed most of the time. But mothers can be cooking and taking care of kids and talking to their husbands and talking on the phone and dealing with this and dealing with that. They can do all that. But let me tell you something. Don't let your life get caught up in all that. Remember the important things. Remember how important they are. And dedicate yourself to that. God has many things for parents, especially for mothers. God is willing to help mothers to be the right kind of people they need to be. Ask God for His help in being the right kind of mother. Avoid favoritism in the family. We could go back and see Jacob and Esau and those two brothers there, that the mother loved one, the father loved the other, and all it did was cause trouble in the family, and it's still going on. Don't do that. And I know, honestly, see, some of your children have a personality kind of like yours, and you can get along with them, but you love them all, and you let them all know you love them. You let them all know that you care for them. You be the one that you're going to be that godly example for them. You dedicate yourself to serve God. You dedicate yourself to be the right kind of mother. I don't want to just come in with a sermon and make mothers feel bad. That's not what my purpose is. My purpose is to encourage you in what you're trying to do in being a mother. Encourage you to be the right kind of mother. Encourage you to be the mother that you dedicate your children to God. I'm going to tell you, I've talked to a lot of preachers, and a lot of them, they say, my mama used to carry me to church all the time. And we may not like that terminology, but that's the way it's said. My grandmother taught me the Bible and studied Bible stories with me. My grandmother, my mother, did that. I've had very few to say, my father did this, my grandfather did this. Now, I've had some. But most of them, it's the mother and the grandmother that teaches the spirituality to the children. Now, I don't say that to make you feel bad. I say that to show you the importance of the job that you have. We're not talking about giving birth. We're talking about raising children. We're talking about dedicating them to God And it's not always an easy thing. You see, we live in a world where we don't like to talk about it in the church, but there's blended families. And sometimes they don't blend real well. And you've got to still continue with that dedication to God. If your mother's alive, woo, you're fortunate. Let her know. You say, my mama wasn't what she needed to be. Okay, that's all right. Maybe she's learning. Maybe it's too late. But it's not too late for you to show the right example, to be the right kind of person. And you be that. You be a child of God. You be faithful to God. And you show them the right way to go.